Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
I'm thinking about the subject of this lesson. There are really a lot of different places in the scripture I could pull a text from today, and I'll cover a couple of those, but just want to talk to you from this title this morning, My Shepherd. My Shepherd. Amen. And we'll get into a couple different passages of scripture for your reading. But just kind of want to open it up and say, you know, about a month ago it was, my wife and I were able to get away for a bit on a Caribbean cruise. I know, it's a rough life. Pray for me. No, seriously, there were some praying, including myself. It was the first time ever for either of us, I believe, out of the country. You'd been to the Bahamas before. Is that out of the country? I don't even know. Okay. See how domesticated I am? World traveler here. But, you know, the trip was put together by my wife's office. It was a continuing education course, right? Continuing education. So, you know, a couple of days she was sitting in some lectures, getting her credit hours in, and I won't lie to you and say that I wasn't hesitant about this trip at all. I was very, I've never really been attracted to the idea of being out in the middle of the ocean, unable to see land or other life, you know, as outside of the people that you're on the ship with. You know, the older I get, the more attention to safety measures, you know, and, you know, that seems to grow in me. I go to a restaurant, I don't sit with my back to the entrance. You know, I've got to be able to see who's coming in and what they're carrying and all that stuff. So the older I get, the more attention to detail. But I can tell you that after 3 plane rides, 1 night in a hotel, 7 days out on the ocean, one of the scariest shuttle rides I've ever been on in my life, we had an amazing time. We did. And I was thankful to have experienced that with my wife. But and the Lord blessed us. The Lord blessed us with amazing weather. And this was definitely one of my concerns, right? You know, and it was so funny how a couple weeks before the trip, my social media algorithm had me watching videos of the North Sea and hearing that, yo-ho, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, this is what it's going to be like, you know, out on the ocean. And you can't help but hear that sound whenever you're looking out at the ocean and pitch black, you know. And so, but I was concerned about the weather, no doubt. Didn't want to get caught out in a storm. But we had amazing weather. We had pretty calm seas for the most part. I didn't really know what to compare it to because I had never been on a cruise before. So I thought they were pretty calm seas for most of the journey. And if you are connected with us on social media, I'm sure you've seen the pictures that we shared. We ate some great food. We had some amazing coffee, some very interesting desserts. If you ever order a cheesecake at a restaurant and they tell you it is deconstructed cheesecake, save your money and grab a Frosty on the way home. Just take my word for it. I don't know that we've ever laughed so hard seeing a dessert come out, but when we seen this cheesecake come out, it was one of the strangest looking things I had ever seen, and the taste definitely matched the way that it would look. It was just strange. It was just weird, you know. And for those of you who have cruised before, you know that there are a ton of things going on in the ship, a ton of amenities, you know, that can keep you busy for the trip. They have shows that you can go to and watch, and they have singing and trivia nights and live music. And our boat even had a couple little shops that you can go and do a little bit of shopping. But we played a few games of shuffleboard, threw in a game of pickleball, and I hit the gym one of those days, but working out and feeling kind of the waves did not mix very well for Bryce. And so it scared me to do any more of that. Likely excuse, right? Wimp. What a wimp. But there was lots of fun things that we were, you know, that there were to do. But probably one of my most favorite things, and this applies to even when we're not cruising, It was just simply to grab a coffee and sit down in a corner somewhere and just watch people. Where are my people watchers at this morning? Yeah. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, just know you're being watched right now. Today and all days, right? But people watching is fun. And I'm not talking about stalking, okay? There's a difference. We weren't relentlessly targeting one particular person on the cruise ship. I'm talking about being observant, right? And carefully viewing a wide range of people wherever they happen to be. You know, you can be in a mall. You could be at the zoo, a park bench, a cruise ship, really any place that is going to have large crowds. And it's so much fun simply because people are interesting. People are interesting. You have to admit, we are some interesting creatures. And it's fun just to kind of sit back and relax and pick up on some people's idiosyncrasies to try and maybe interpret or guess what's their story. You know, where did they come from? How did they get where they are at in today? And just kind of play that game. Like, it's just imagine, like, you're just kind of looking at their behavior and analyzing it and not being creepy with it, but just like wondering, you know, who are they? Where did they come from? What do they do? I think people watching interest me because people interest me. And being in ministry, people are the business, right? That is the business. And so I enjoy watching people and learning stories, your story, your testimonies, learning what brought you here. How did you arrive here today? Because I believe nothing happens by accident. I believe that God orders our steps and God directs our paths and all of that stuff. And the scripture backs that up. And so I just wonder, and as I watch and I look at people, and I love to hear their story because we all have a story. And I know there are stories represented here today. You know, some stories, some of which have been through maybe a depth that some are unable to relate with. But no doubt, all of us have experienced a life less than perfect. I would venture to say no one here this morning or listening to this message later by way of podcast can say that their life has been perfect. Okay? Life is hard, okay? And that is a very difficult truth to admit, but oh, how important it is to acknowledge. I think it's such an important truth to wrap our minds around. The scripture says in Ephesians, give no place to the devil. Meaning, don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a seat at the table. Don't allow him to speak into your life and lead you into destruction, lead you into a life of sin. And if there is someone who would love nothing more than to remind you that life is hard, it would be Satan and his demons, whispering in your ear, hey, life is hard. It will always be hard. And there's no way you'll be able to get through it. There's nothing you can do because life is hard. Church, life is hard. But here's the full truth. Life is hard, yet Jesus invites us to follow him anyways. Okay, there will be ups and downs in this life, hills and valleys, victories and defeats. Life is hard, but don't forget who you're following in this life. Don't forget the hand that you're holding in this life. I'm telling somebody today, you can trust in the one we just sang about today. You can trust in this Jesus that we're talking about, who is faithful even in the hard times. Okay? He's there in the hard times. He's there in the good times. He's with you in those seasons of pain. You'll be a lot of things in this life and in this walk, but one thing you will never be is alone. All right, when you look through the scriptures, page after page, we find people in situations where life has sort of closed in on them, okay? So much so that it might seem logical for them to just kind of throw out their faith And reading it and reading the stories, we wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I mean, let's be honest with you this morning. When we're reading about some of these people in the Bible, it wouldn't surprise us at all if we came upon somebody who just said, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. It wouldn't surprise us if they turned away from God in the midst of the difficulty, or if they leaned toward their favorite addiction in an attempt to feel better. That wouldn't surprise us, reading some of the things that these men and women went through. Because unfortunately, that's what too many people do when the going gets tough. See, when life turns hard for us, we're almost always tempted to welcome the enemy. But when we realize that Jesus invites us to follow him through the hard, we discover the foundational truth of winning the battle. And this is the depth of faith where we see throughout the Bible. You pick any story you want to. I mean, any story you want to. You look at the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, worshiped God in an era when King Nebuchadnezzar had commanded everybody to worship only a huge golden statue of himself. And the goal of the Hebrew boys was to be obedient to God's call in their lives. And so when the music played, which was the signal for everybody to fall down and worship the golden statue, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remain standing. And because of those righteous actions, they wound up being thrown into a raging fire. And you might read that and you might think, where is God in this? What was God thinking? I mean, surely this made no sense for folks to be committed to him and then wind up in a situation like they didn't do anything wrong. Wasn't God for them and not against them? But the faith that these three young men had, the faith wasn't deflated when opposition rose up against them. Because even on the edge of a fiery furnace, they were able to say to the king, hey, King, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up. Hey, rescued or not rescued, it didn't matter to them. They would stay true to God. There are people throughout all of Scripture who encountered times of intense trouble, yet they went bigger with their faith in those moments. And as a people watcher, I simply step back and I marvel at these men and women that displayed and demonstrated such great faith. You look at the words from the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3. It says, even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no grain, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. You want to talk about huge faith? Look at those last two lines. Habakkuk basically said, hey, even though there's no harvest, and even though the crops fail, and even though the fields are desolate, and even though the stalls of provision are empty, I will still be joyful and glad. Why? Because the Lord is my Savior. Hey, friend, when you know you have a Savior, when you know you have a shepherd, you can live in a place that says, I still have my faith, even though the circumstance says I shouldn't. I can have greater faith in this moment. Hey, I'm here to tell you, you can rejoice in the Lord always. You can live in a place where you still worship him, even in the difficult times. And I pray, God, let us be that church. Let us be that people. God, don't let us become sidetracked by the attitudes or the action, but when we encounter hard times, let our faith rise up in those moments. You have a shepherd today. One that will keep you and watch over you. One that you can trust even though bad things happen. Even though bad things happen, that doesn't mean you have to lose your mind to the enemy. We have a shepherd today that is for you and not against you. Fear is a very powerful emotion. Throughout history, fear has been one of the most powerful instruments of control. Whether real or imagined, the threats of military force or public disgrace or financial ruin, the list goes on, have all been used to motivate or discourage action. And fear-mongering these days grows worse with every social media post that comes out and every headline that gets published. Please be careful as you are scrolling through your feeds these days. And be on guard. There is so much new technology these days that it's so hard to tell what is real and what is fake. See, creating and disseminating convincing propaganda used to require the resources of a state. Now all it takes is a smartphone. There's a technology out there today called generative AI. And it's a type of artificial intelligence technology that can produce various types of content, including text and imagery and audio and synthetic data. On the one hand, I mean, there's some pros with it, right? There's some positives. This capability has opened up opportunities that can bring about, you know, richer educational content. That's positive. That's good. But it has also unlocked concerns about deep fakes, which is intelligence used to create convincing images and audios and video. I miss the days when you could just trust a video. I used to think video, that was hard lock, man. That was all the evidence you needed. If that was on video, you got it on video. Hey, they are dead to rights. They are guilty, or this is true. This is right. All of that stuff. I used to think that if it was on video, that was enough. But this technology is capable of creating fake video, fake pictures, fake clones of our voices, and even videos that are depicting and distorting world events. So all the way from our personal circles, all the way to political circuses, everyone now has to question whether what they see and hear is true. So just be careful before you hit that share button. Be careful before you digest this and take it as solid. There's a lot being made right now of this eclipse happening tomorrow. And no question the fear mongers are taking advantage of the moment. I've seen quite a few people trying to break down exactly what the meaning of the eclipse is and taking people down deep rabbit holes, okay? And what makes this eclipse so unique that's happening tomorrow is that one happened 7 years ago in 2017 that went one way and this one's going the other way and it's creating a perfect X over the United States, okay? So I'm not going to address what God is saying through events like this because no doubt Psalms 19 does tell us that God speaks through the heavenlies, okay? I'm not going to address what God is speaking through these things that are happening, but what I will address is fear. I don't want to see a misplaced fear in your life. Isaiah chapter 8 says, "The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else thinks." He said, don't live in fear of what they fear. He said in verse 13, "Make me holy in your life." God was saying, I'm the one that you should fear. If you're going to fear something, fear me. And he said, if you do this, verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary. He's saying, I will keep you safe. If you walk in the healthy fear of God, you have a promise from the shepherd today of him keeping you safe. You don't have to be living in the fear that what's coming upon the world and what's happening in the last days and what's going to come upon the earth. When we walk in the fear of God, it frees us from all of the other fears and anxieties that will come. We don't have to fear like the world fears. We fear God and God alone. Proverbs 29 says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It brings a trap, but whoso putteth their trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'm so thankful for the word of God this morning. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and they that run into it are safe, right? How many know the name of the Lord this morning? We sang about it. The name of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the word this morning. When we run into the word, there is safety, there is comfort, there is peace, there is Jesus. Most of us here today, almost drowned my laptop up here. Most of us here today have a favorite scripture passage. But if I were to ask you, what is the most well-known passage of scripture? What would you say? Hey, first one on my list here. Okay? Some would say John 3:16, very popular scripture. It's plastered all over signs, and you'll see it held up at sporting events. You might hear or see it attempt in a football game, right? Depending on where you're at and what crowd you're in, you might, you know, a Pentecostal crowd, you might hear Acts 2:38, right? That would be a most, you know, favorite passage of scripture, a most famous passage of scripture. But I think Psalms 23 might be even more famous. You will hear this passage recited at both weddings and funerals. It's been taught about, it's been preached about, it's been painted about. You will find it plastered on memes all over social media. You will find it in movies. It's found in a number of songs, classics by Bach and Schubert, countless hymns, and worship songs. Psalms 23 is woven into the very fabric of our culture. And yet for many of those that have been on this journey, I think we may need to clear the cobwebs when it comes to this passage. Because when I say Psalms 23, it's too easy to rattle off those famous words without even thinking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No problem. Green pastures, quiet waters, the valley of the shadow, the rod, the staff, the table, the oily head. Sure, I know what you're talking about, Bryce. I'm asking you this morning to maybe kind of erase any tame or religious thoughts about this psalm, because I believe it's highly relevant to what we're experiencing in our culture today. I want to help you see, and as I wrap up my lesson today, I want to help you see how this passage packs an unbelievably powerful promise for us. This passage depicts God as a personal and attentive shepherd, one who immediately cares for the sheep, yet is tough enough to defend them against all attacks. This shepherd will make sure that you are rested, that you are well fed, but he'll also beat back any and all that threaten your safety and well-being. You jump over to the New Testament and you get to John chapter 10. Jesus outlined how he himself is the good shepherd. You'll see his words, to him the porter opens. The watchman permits the true shepherd to enter the fold. Jesus said the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. The sheep follow him because they know his voice, Jesus said. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. This entire passage lets us know Jesus knows his sheep, us. He protects us from thieves and robbers. He laid down his life for us. He guides us, and we are able to listen to his voice and know that it's him. We're not faked out by it. We're not fooled. John 10 personifies Jesus as the good shepherd of Psalms 23. And in Psalms 23, the attributes and actions of the shepherd are the same. Hebrews got it right. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's the incredible invitation. Jesus is saying, I want to be your good shepherd. He is personal. He is an involved God who wants to be the shepherd of your life. And I just ask, can you pause for a moment and breathe in this reality? The good shepherd, who also happens to be God, is offering to lead you through every moment of your life. And I'm not sure about anyone else, but I've tried it on my own, and it doesn't work. It can't work. I need help with this life. I need help on this journey. And the key for us then is that we allow him to shepherd us. And here's really the main thought for this lesson. If you haven't gotten anything out of this morning, please get this. Here's my main thought. We all have a shepherd. All of us are shepherded. We are shepherded whether we realize it or not. Your shepherd might not be Jesus, but something is leading you. 2 Peter says people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So I don't know what it is for you today, friend. Maybe it's culture that's leading you. Maybe it's social media that's leading you. Maybe it's certain relationships in your life that are leading you, career maybe. And there might be some that are sitting here thinking today, nah, Bryce, no. I don't have a shepherd. Nobody leads me. I'm doing this. I call the shots. I make the decisions for me. That's great. Then you are your own shepherd. You're leading yourself. You're depending upon yourself to guide you to still waters and to green pastures. And you're relying on yourself to get you through the valley of the shadow. And one thing is for sure, if you are your own shepherd, it is likely that you are here today in want. Because unfortunately, when we take the reins of our own lives, they end up changing the words into something like this. I am my own shepherd, and I'm a mess. I don't have everything I need. I wouldn't know still water if it was staring me in the face. I haven't taken a rest in a green pasture for quite a while. I don't walk along paths of righteousness, but I know what fear and evil are. I seek comfort wherever I can get it. My cup definitely overflows. I'm full of angst. I'm consumed by anger and sorrow and rage. And I don't know what's going to follow me all the days of my life, but I can tell you this one thing. My soul
not so great. Can I tell you this morning that when you allow Jesus to be your shepherd, he guides you out into this stressed out culture and becomes your replenishing guide. He leads you. He watches over you. He gives you rest. He gives you purpose. He shows you how to deal with your enemies so that they don't tear you apart inside. When you can say, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll give you a hope. He'll give you a future. He'll restore your soul. He'll give you goodness and love for today and tomorrow and for every day for the rest of your life. He'll give you the promise of eternity with him, which I don't know of anything else that compares to that. And all of this is found in the promises of Psalms 23. If you haven't allowed Jesus to lead your life, friend, I simply ask you this morning, why not? Why not do so today, right now? Why not hand over the reins to him this morning? Hey, you've given it a run. You've tried, and look how things have turned out in your life. You've tried your hand at this whole shepherd thing, and look where it's got you. You will always be in want. You will always be lacking when you are your own shepherd, but when he becomes my shepherd, I'm telling you, it's not always been easy, but I've never lacked anything. It's not always been easy, but every good thing in my life today is because of my shepherd. Every blessing, every good thing that I've got, everything that you see here today is because of him. I hitched my wagon to a star all those years ago, and that star was Jesus Christ. My life changed for the better when he became my shepherd. When you allow Jesus, one last thing, if you stand with me this morning, when you allow Jesus to lead you, it's not simply about him giving you good things or doing helpful things for you. Psalms 23, we see the first way the good shepherd is going to lead you will require him making you do something. People are like, oh man, there's the catch. There's the hook. This mandate, though, is foundational to how he cares for us. He loves you enough, hear me please. He loves you enough to make you do something vital that you are not inclined to know how to do or choose to do on your own. He makes you lie down in green pastures. Sure, you can lie down on the rocky ground if you want to. You can lie down in the heat and the dust, but Jesus says, lie down in green pastures. Get some rest. Stop trying to manage all the outcomes. Take a break in the midst of the craziness of your day and acknowledge that I'm the good shepherd and I have your best interest at heart. See, when God refers to us as sheep, it's a reflection of how we are wired. It's not necessarily a compliment. Sheep need leading. They need leadership. God isn't saying, hey, you're cute and you're cuddly. He's saying it's far too easy for the wool to be pulled over our eyes. We don't see with as much discernment as we should. We don't rest. We're not smart when it comes to making decisions. And so he will lead us by still waters because sheep lack awareness. Sheep will just rush to any body of water, thinking this is a good place to get a drink. This is a good place to quench this thirst. I know that I need a good shepherd. I've been on this journey for a little while now, and yet I'm keenly aware of my need to constantly surrender the leadership of my life to God. I'm far too prone to stick my head into any rushing stream that looks good. I don't naturally lie down in green pastures. I need shepherding in my life. I need him to be near. I need to listen to his voice. And when he says, no, Bryce, we're not drinking there. We're not drinking right there. Come over here to this quiet little pool. Drink up in the quiet, still waters right here where there's safety. And you can live. You can rest. In a word, the good shepherd is good. And because of his great love for us, he will always act with our ultimate well-being in mind. The goodness of God can be found in all that he is and says and does. He walks with us through everything. He talks with us. He'll walk with you right through the valley of the shadow of death. Your shepherd is there through it all. And hey, we'll walk through some dark times. We'll walk through some scary times. That's why it's so key that even though King David walked through such great difficulty, he declared, I will fear no evil. Why? Because David had a shepherd. And his shepherd was his shepherd. And he was there to guide him. He was there to comfort him. David, how can you honestly say that you're not afraid? The answer is shown in the second part of verse 4. We won't solve all the problems around us, church. We won't avoid every difficulty that comes our way. Yet we don't need to fear any evil because the good shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Don't rush by that truth this morning. Look at it again. Look at it slowly, carefully. God Almighty is with us. And when you get this revelation, I think it changes the way that you're going to pray. You don't need to pray anymore. God, I'm in a storm. Help me. Instead, you pray, God, I'm in a storm. Thank you for being in this with me. You've got my back. You're for me. Now just show me how to get out of this. Show me how to get through this. How can we get through this together? I'm telling you, there's peace, there's victory, and there's freedom that come. Those things don't just come from us sitting around and wishing we didn't have any problems or pain. No, the reality is that we will all be led through the valley of the shadow of death in some way, shape, or form. But Jesus' promise is peace, victory, and freedom will come in the midst of all those things. That's how we develop faith. We live by knowing that in the midst of a broken world, God Almighty is with us. God is with us in this storm. God is with us in this valley. As they begin to play and sing, I just ask you, can you say this morning that he is my shepherd? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day and God bless.